Thanks for checking out the Lakeshore Podcast. If this is your first time listening with us, we want you to know God loves you. We want for your hope in Jesus to be renewed and for your faith to come to life. Wherever you are joining us from, we hope this message encourages you.
Starting point. This is the last message in a summer-long three-part series that we've done, all studying about the Holy Spirit. So in part one, we talked about the person of the Holy Spirit, how he's not some weird cloud and just some energy force, but he's the third member of the Godhead, and he's come to partner with us in our everyday life so that we can live life to the full like Jesus promised. The next thing we looked at was the power of the Holy Spirit. And we found out that even though some people get weirded out about that, maybe you've had a bad experience in church, maybe it was kind of crazy and wild, but the power of the Holy Spirit, according to the New Testament, is connected to the person of the Holy Spirit. And the person of the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. The person of the Holy Spirit understands the appropriateness of the moment and what's going on. Sometimes the Holy Spirit moves and it's different. It's not what you expected, but it's never unbridled. It's never scary. It's never something that you have to, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. No, we know exactly what's going to happen because the Holy Spirit is someone we can trust. And I'll just pause right there because we wove this all the way through the first two segments. Jesus over and over emphasized to his disciples, in fact, it's actually a command of his. He said, whatever you do, don't try to start living this Christian life without the Holy Spirit. Don't even try. Don't get out there. You need him as a person, as a counselor, a comforter, a guide, someone who will partner with you. But you need the power that he'll bring to your life so you can literally live a supernatural life the way that the Bible says you should. And he says, don't even try it until you stop and you get the Holy Spirit. But we know in today's culture, many, many, many Christians have. And they have no clue what the Holy Spirit's about. They have a kind of a picture of a caricature of what it looks like, what people act like, but they don't know what the scriptures say, and they don't understand how absolutely essential he is to our lives and how low on the bar of our privileges and our potential that we live because we're too afraid to lean into him. So we did a great job, or as great as we knew how, to demystify some stuff, keep coming back to scripture. And so the first two, person and the power. Then we turned it in this last segment we're finishing up today. It's on the work of the Holy Spirit. Talking about, so once he comes as a person, and once he comes and brings all of his power into your life, what exactly is he trying to do? And the first thing we found out, according to scripture, he's trying to do something in you. Not just give you like determination and willpower to curb and manage your appetites, but he literally wants to transform you from the inside out. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul talks about this fruit of the Spirit, and he gives a number of different descriptives, and he's not talking about you learning how to, oh, I just got to love that person. But what would happen if you literally changed on the inside and you legitimately did love that person? What would happen if instead of, I'm just trying to be patient, yeah, but what would happen if you were transformed on the inside and you literally were a patient person? You didn't struggle with that. You weren't trying to not be stressed. What would happen if you were a person who could go through these long seasons of endurance while hardships and challenges were unfolding themselves, and you just stayed just steady and just calm because you knew God was going to? See, those are the works of the Holy Spirit that he does in us. That's the fruit of the Spirit, and that's where we take on the characteristics of our Heavenly Father, God. That's when we actually get to look like, talk like, act like, think like Jesus did. It's not that, you know, that we're walking around doing all these miracles all the time. It's just living a life that literally reflects, if Jesus were here, that's exactly what he would have said. If he were here, that's exactly how he would think about it. And that's the character of God developing in us. That's what the Holy Spirit came to do in all of our lives. And we found out the Bible says he does that when we stay connected to him in a relationship. And we talked about that. If you missed any of that, then all of that, all summer long, is on podcast. It's absolutely free. I'm telling you, these are game-changing messages that will help your Christianity to become real, will help you to become victorious. There is absolutely no reason in any area of our life that as Christians we should be stuck. Never. It'll take longer than you think sometimes. Sometimes there's other factors involved, but we never get stuck. We always keep moving from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from victory to victory. This is what it means to live a New Testament Christian life, and we're learning how to do that here at Lakeshore. Okay, so then last week we started talking about this last big segment called the spiritual gifts. And a lot of Christianity is familiar with the first two sections. There's actually three sets of gifts. Your Heavenly Father gave gifts. Your elder brother, the Lord Jesus, gave gifts, and the Holy Spirit brings gifts. And so it's like there was a family thing, and all the family brought gifts. And so you, every single one of us got a gift from the Heavenly Father, and we talked about the importance of understanding and developing that and then deploying it in your life. In fact, Jesus was preaching a message on the sermon in the Sermon on the Mount, and he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things, practical things, financial things, relational things, all of these things that everybody that doesn't have Jesus is trying to figure out, how do we get them all these things will just come rolling along." Well, that's not just a behavioral, you know, kind of a behavioral standard. If you can just do the right things, then all these things come. No, it's understanding who God's created you to be. How to be able to function in your niche, in your gifting. This is what you're good at, and you don't even know why you're good at it. You just are. It's because God wired you that way. Then we talked about how the Lord Jesus brought leadership into the church, and he literally assigned people in leadership positions for one reason only, and that is to help the congregation, many, many other Christians, to figure out how did God wire me, and how do I fit into this big kingdom story? How do I find my place? Because we are the happiest and most fulfilled and most productive and experience the greatest amount of blessing when we're engaged. We're not just receiving from the Lord, but the life cycle completes and we're giving. And then we've got this flow that just keeps us healthy and we don't get stagnant and we don't get stuck. It's so important to Jesus. He said, "Yeah, I'm going to set up a whole structure just for that." Just so that you can not just come and have social interaction at church, so that you can get trained and educated and built up in the scriptures and in the spiritual atmosphere, so that you can understand, oh, that's what God's called me to do, and you can get in the game. And so those are the first two sets of gifts. Today we're going to look at the last set. And the last set's really, really important, but I said from the beginning of this segment, the last set's also the most controversial. And here's what I know. We have a lot of people in all of our campuses at Lakeshore, and they didn't grow up in a church that taught about the spiritual gifts. They didn't grow up in a church that demonstrated or participated or engaged the spiritual gifts. In fact, here in the Bible Belt, there's a lot of churches that actually teach that the spiritual gifts are not something you should lean into. If the Holy Spirit wants to kind of, you know, introduce you to that, he'll do it. But you're not supposed to do it. But we're going to see actual scripture where Paul says that's not true. That's absolutely not true. But I'm wanting to show you that kind of a real relevant side, why the spiritual gifts are really important. They're not weird. They're not wacky. They're not spooky. They're really important. And listen, as we walk through this, you're going to see, I need that. I really need that to function in my life. And I need other people to function so they can bring it to my life. Because it's all part of the package for us to live this victorious Christian life that God has. If we leave this out, it's like we tie our arm behind our back and we can't function as a church. We can't function as individuals the way we're supposed to. But for those of you that didn't grow up in this kind of a background, and maybe for those of you that grew up in a church background like I did, where it was just kind of anything goes. And so it was wild, it was crazy, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you'd be like, what is going on? And that's just kind of how, you know, our church approached this, like no rules, just jump into it and here we go. So for those of you that didn't grow up in that, and for those of you that every time that you hear about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit especially, or anybody who, you know, is excited about the gifts or leans in, you kind of go, ah, and you want to lean back. We're going to walk through some other scriptures that aren't always highlighted in those environments, but they are crucial and they're fundamental to the fabric of what Paul was trying to teach the Corinthian church about the spiritual gifts, their appropriateness, and how to use them. So let me just start, and I'll read a few scriptures for you, and it'll help to give some context, maybe some comfort to some of you. First of all, let me just say this. We started and we took so much time studying the fruit of the Spirit, or the character of God, all those things that come into play in our everyday life. We took so much time to understand how emphasized those were in the New Testament, because when you graduate then and move to the gifts, here's what you're going to discover. That the fruit of the Spirit, or the character development that the Holy Spirit wants to do in you, is mentioned. In fact, it's strategically woven in every passage in the New Testament where you'll find the gifts. The fruit of the Spirit is always both the regulator, and it's also the one that helps you to understand the context and to be able to flow the way the Holy Spirit will really want you to flow, to demonstrate and to use that gift. If you don't understand, or if you marginalize or minimize the fruit of the Spirit, the character of God, then you're bound to get into excess or misunderstanding or misuse in the gifts of the Spirit. You won't be able to help it. But if you'll do it the way the Bible's telling us to, the way Paul's laying it out, you'll see how these two feather and they fold and they keep each other in a perfect counterbalance and harmony, okay? Now, I'm actually going to show you where Paul's walking through 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. He's primarily talking about the gifts of the Spirit, how the Holy Spirit operates in a supernatural way through us as a church. So if you're a Christian, you qualify. He wants to use you, and he wants some of these things to be moving in your life, but it all is connected to the fruit of the Spirit moving in your life, and that will determine the degree that he can use you. Listen, it'll also determine the degree that you want to be used. And you'll see that right here. You'll understand that. Okay, so let me read just a few scriptures. Now, I'm going to kind of throw a stone across 12, 13, and 14, and you can go back later on and validate that I'm not stretching the context. I'm just pulling these threads out of what Paul's trying to teach, because I want us to see something so that we can go into the gifts of the Spirit. All right, listen to this. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." We read that last week, and the word ignorant means to be uninformed, but it also means to be misinformed. I want you to be spot on. I want people to come up and say, "What is all these spiritual gifts thing?" And as a Christian, I want you to be able to understand. So let me explain them to you. Let me just tell you what these are all about. I want you to know how to use those things that God's given you. Like if you got a Christmas present or something, you can leave it in the closet and say, "I don't know, I haven't even unwrapped it." Or you can start using it and say, "Man, that's the best gift I ever got. I use that every single day." And that's what he wants. So he doesn't want us to be ignorant, either misinformed or not informed at all. Listen to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 32 through 33. He says, "Remember, people who prophesy," now that's part of the gift of the Spirit, we'll cover it in a minute, "are in control of their spirit and can take turns." Now that's the fruit of the Spirit, self-control, walking in love, being sensitive. And the reason that's important, because every once in a while you'll run into people, or you'll run into a church group, and they'll say, "Well, I just couldn't help myself." Well, no, you can. You absolutely can help yourself. And the Bible says you should be helping yourself. You should be very conscious and very sensitive when you're using these things. So it says, Paul said, "Remember, people who prophesy are in control of their spirit and can take turns." This is why, verse 33, "For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace in all the meetings of God's holy people." Now, that can be defined, because you can be in some meetings and, man, they can just be having a lot of fun. And there's a lot of freedom there, and people are dancing and jumping, and I'm all for that. I got no problem with that. But when it becomes disorderly, when something's not right, something's not gelling, and you can tell when something's out of place, he says, yeah, that's not God. Because God's a God of order, and there should be this orchestra. There should be this freedom in the atmosphere. There should be this freedom in the room, and God will direct like that. He's a God of peace in all of the meetings, and we have to be able to control as we're using our gift so that we can stay in order, stay in the context. Let me read one more, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. He said, "So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts." Now, that's the gifts of the Spirit. And we could go into the word definitions of earnestly desire, but it means that this should be something that is passionate, something, oh, you want this so bad, but my experience is most Christians don't. They're kind of pretty happy that the Holy Spirit's not, you know, not nudging them there, because that's kind of weird. I just don't really want that. It's just because you don't understand what it is, and you don't understand how it works. If you did, or when you do, that's going to change. But he says you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now he says, let me show you a way of life that's best of all. Here's what's interesting. He's talking about these powerful gifts that we're going to describe in just a minute. But he says, but let me show you what's the best of all. Let me show you what's the most excellent thing to do. And he's going to, in the next breath, he's going to start chapter 13. And he's going to talk about walking in the fruit of the Spirit. It's great to be used by God. It's better to be shaped by God. It's great to be used by God. We love when that happens, right? Somebody gets helped and we got to be part of that. We're like, that's awesome. Go God. But it's way better for your life to be transformed and matured and shaped by the Lord. Now, here's the cool thing. The New Testament doesn't make you choose. It will just tell you, focus on the shaping, focus on the character, allow the Holy Spirit to do that deep work in you, because something incredible happens as the fruit of the Spirit grows. Your passion, your desire for the gifts of the Spirit begins to grow. And then the Holy Spirit can use you. They have to go in sequence like that. Let's just keep reading now. We're in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, if I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, well, we're going to see that that shows up in the gifts of the Spirit, but didn't love others, that's the fruit of the Spirit, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I've seen people like that. I've been in environments like that, where I don't feel the Holy Spirit moving at all. I see a lot of people having a really good time and drawing a lot of attention to themselves. But they're taking away from what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And Paul's saying, yeah, don't do that. We have to be very careful. Notice the next verse, verse 2. If I had the gift of prophecy, that's the gift of the Spirit. We'll talk about that. And if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, that's more of the gift of the Spirit. We'll talk about that. And if I had such faith that I could move mountains, that's a gift of the Spirit, but I didn't love others, that's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the character of God. He said, but if I wasn't growing and maturing in my character, I would be nothing. Listen to the last verse. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, now that's one of the spiritual gifts. We talked about it in Romans 12. There's literally a gift of giving, a gift of generosity, where people are gifted to come and resource the body of Christ. But he said, let's just say you took that all the way to the limit. He says, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. These are big statements that Paul's making. And he's not saying it to pit one against the other. He's saying it because you have to let them be in balance. Again, God wants to use you. He wants these gifts to be moving in all of us. But more than God wants to use you, he wants to shape you. Isn't that the way any great dad is with his kids? Of course I want you to be productive, but more than I want you to be productive, I want you to have great character. I want you to be a good person. I don't want you just to achieve a bunch, but you're not really a great guy. I want you to be a great person. I want you to be everything God wants you to be, and I want you to be super productive. I want you to be a real contributor. Anytime you walk in the room, I want people to say, oh man, I'm so glad he's here, because every time he's here, man, stuff just gets better. That's how God feels about us. And so it's not one or the other. It's this weaving together of both, and that's really, really important. Now, I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit will only use you when you're fully mature. No, part of the development process is learning how to be used by the Lord. And so we're going to introduce some things right now, and you'll be able to see how it falls together. But watch this. We just read 1 Corinthians 12:31. Let me just read one part of it again. He said, so you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Now, let me tell you what Paul's not doing. He's not trying to coach them. Come on, guys, get excited about this stuff. Come on. Start stirring that up. You should desire this. He's not doing that. He's trying to highlight to them, if you're growing in the fruit of the Spirit, in the character of God, and you're learning more and more how to get your eyes off of yourself and your self-centeredness and your selfishness, and you're seeing other people and you're learning to contribute and to reach out to others, something's going to happen in you. As you're learning to reach out to others, you're also going to be looking for whatever tool is available so you can help others. And that's where the gifts of the Spirit come in. In fact, some of you experienced this, maybe all of you, but you didn't realize it. Here, let me create the scenario for you. This is rhetorical, by the way. Have you ever been talking to somebody or they're talking to you and they're unfolding the story, maybe tears in their eyes or maybe their bottom lips quivering, but you can tell, man, this is really impacting. And as you listen to it unfold, something shifts on the inside and you begin to find yourself leaning in and compassion, empathy begins to kick in and you find yourself saying either out loud to them or you're saying to yourself, oh, man, I wish there was something I could do. I wish there was something I could do. See, what you're really saying is, I wish I had it within my ability, within my power, to bring something tangible to you that would really, really help. I mean, I can give you a hug, or I can say, hey, let me just pray for you real quick, and all that stuff's great, don't get me wrong, but I wish there was something more. I wish there was something I could bring that would literally change the circumstance for you. What you're saying, what you're feeling in that moment is the heart of God. What you're feeling in that moment is how God feels about these people, and he's yearning. Now, God can do something. It's just getting it across to them that becomes really complex and challenging because of the way that, you know, we're relating to God. And you're feeling this stir and this swell on the inside, and the intention of that is for you to open up and say, Holy Spirit, how can I help them? And he'll say, how about this? To be used by the Holy Spirit in a supernatural way. Not something you've learned, not something you can conjure up, not something that you intentionally brought to the table, but something the Holy Spirit does right there beyond your natural ability. He says, let me, a supernatural God, use you, a natural person, to do a supernatural thing in this person's life right now. And the Holy Spirit wants every single one of us. This is New Testament Christianity. And he's going to list all these gifts, going to list 9 of them and said, here's 9 different ways that the Holy Spirit may use you at times, and he wants you to pay attention. But in order to do that, you've got to develop a hunger or a willingness to lean in, and in order to do that, you can't be ignorant, uninformed, or misinformed, because sometimes that'll make you go, I don't know, that's weird. It's not weird. It's relevant. It's supernatural, but it's relevant. We need it in our lives right now, according to what I'm studying in the Bible. We're going to need it more and more and more the deeper we get into the last days. All right, let me take the rest of the time then, and we're going to look at these gifts of the Spirit. Let me just read them to you. They're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse number 7 is where we start. We'll end in verse number 11. Everybody doing okay so far? All right, good, good. Listen to this. It says, but the manifestation, that means the demonstration, when something actually happens. And you're like, hey, what was that? So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So it's not for themselves, it's for other people, whatever context, whatever group you're in. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But look at verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all of these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So this is not something that you can conjure up. This is not something that on demand you can just say, here's what I'm going to do right now. This is something that your heart wants to be used. You open up to the Holy Spirit and you learn to say, Holy Spirit, I'd sure love to be able to do something. Or the Holy Spirit whispers to you and says, hey, I need you to say this to them right now. And you begin to learn to recognize that voice and say, yes, sir, I'll do that. And then you watch the results are beyond anything that anybody thought was going to happen. Let's just go through this list now, and I'll show you what these things are, and they'll get relevant for you. Because we read the descriptions, and they sound kind of real spiritual, real churchy, but they're going to get real practical for you, and you're going to see, oh, that's how that works in our everyday life. And I'll even include some examples about how I've been used by them, or they've been used to affect me. First thing, let me just tell you, it's easiest to study these when we see that they fit into 3 categories. And the 3 categories are this: there's the revelation gifts, or that's things that reveal something. It's like somebody pulls back a curtain and you're like, hey, I didn't even know that was back there. Or there's the power gifts, and these are gifts that do something. They literally do something that's measurable. And then there's what is called the utterance gifts, or these are gifts that say something. So they're going to bring you a message that's really important. So the first category, the group of three, is the revelation gifts. And the first one said a word of wisdom. Some translations say word of advice, and that's listed in verse number 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But here's what that is. It's a supernatural perspective for problem solving or for decision making or the appropriate response that's in a particular situation. Let me give you a personal example. A number of years ago, Debbie and I were given this opportunity, and everything on the outside was like, wow, that's awesome. I mean, that just looks like almost what we were praying for. We couldn't have made a list any better than that. But something on the inside, you know, both Debbie and I are like, man, as great as that looks and as exciting as it sounds, something just doesn't seem right. I can't feel good about it. I want to feel good about it because it makes sense, but I can't feel good about it. And so we were kind of thinking and praying, and I think it was the next day, the phone rings, and it's this lady that we had known, but like 4 years ago, she'd moved to a whole nother state. And we hadn't talked to her since then. And she said, hey, this is going to be kind of strange maybe, but I was praying this morning and I felt like the Lord wanted me to share a scripture with you. I don't know what it means. And here's the scripture. She said, she read me several scriptures, but she said, here's what the Lord spoke to me, is that the same people that are singing Hosanna and welcoming you in right now will be singing Crucify Him in a very short period of time. Whatever they're laying in front of you, don't do it. We hadn't talked to her at all, but something just clicked, and we're like, okay, I still don't know what's going on, but that makes a lot of sense. And so Debbie and I called, and we respectfully declined, and it was less than 24 hours later, we found out what they were presenting to us is not what they were presenting to us. What they were presenting to us had this underbelly here, and that's exactly what would have happened. They were going to use us in order to take another step towards what they wanted, and they were going to do it at our expense. Now, we couldn't see it from the outside. Everything from the outside looked great. It looked on the up and up. But something on the inside, the Holy Spirit saying, and He used somebody else to bring an inside piece of information to us that said, here's what you need to do. And we knew it was the Lord because our hearts had already been like, what is it? And when she said it, it's like, okay, I still don't know the exact thing, but that's it. That's exactly what we've been feeling. Listen, that's what the Lord wants. Wouldn't you like, we've all had those times where we're trying to make a decision. Wouldn't you like for the Lord to speak to you and say, hey, here's some stuff you can't see. Here's some stuff you don't know. But if you'll listen to me, then you can make right decisions. You don't have to be like, we're just going to roll the dice here. You don't have to do that. That's relevant in all of our lives all the time, and the Holy Spirit wants to use us like this. The next one, if we go on, that was the word of wisdom. This is the word of knowledge. And this is supernatural knowledge or insight into a set of facts. One of the great stories is Jesus sat with a woman at the well, and he was trying to minister to her, and he said, what about your husband? She said, I don't have a husband. He said, I know, you had a whole bunch of them. And the guy you're living with right now is not your husband. And she's like, And then Jesus went on and shared some things with her. He didn't do that to indict her. He just said, I know some things about you because God told me. And he said, you need to know this because here's what God wants you to do. And the woman did. She followed the set of instructions, very simple, and her life was completely changed and transformed. I remember I just got out of high school, and the Lord was moving and stirring some things in me. I didn't know exactly what it was. My mom was kind of on the dial. She had already understood that I was supposed to be in ministry, and so she wanted me to go straight into Bible college, and I was like, I'm just not feeling that. What I wanted to do was to keep playing sports. I wanted to go into college sports and have a few more years of fun. Wasn't planning to go pro, wasn't thinking I'm going to be in the big leagues, but I wanted a few more years to keep moving because I was doing well. And so what they didn't know was I'd walked on to one of the local universities and I made the football team, and I just hadn't told mom and dad because they were not going to be excited about that. So we were in some church service and the evangelist happened to be in town, and the pastor said, hey, we're going to shake it up tonight. If you have an offering, instead of passing the bag around, we're just going to come on up and put your offering in the plate and just shake the evangelist's hand. Tell him, hey, you appreciate him being here. So I did what literally everybody else in the building did. I got up, grabbed whatever I had in my pocket and was kind of walking down the aisle, and the music's playing and he's, shaking hands. People are leaning in, whispering a thing or two. And I mean, there had to have been 150 people that have gone by. And here I am, 151. I put my hand in his and I just said, hey, thanks for being here. And I start to walk away and he doesn't let go of my hand. And he motions for the music to stop. And he grabs a microphone. And he says, the Lord doesn't want you to run to play ball anymore. He wants you to pick up the ball and run for Jesus. And he said, okay, start the music back up again. And I was like, nobody knows. I mean, like, in fact, it was such a secret. When I got back to my seat, my mom leaned over and whispered, man, he really missed it on that one, didn't he? And I went, yeah, he really did. But see, it's those knowledge things where God knows something and he's trying to get something across and he will give it to somebody. And these are really big, bolder decisions. I won't know till I get to heaven what that did in shifting my decision. I went back and I was too fleshly still to quit the team. So I, what they call redshirted for a year. I said, yeah, I think I just need to get stronger. I'll try again next year. And I never went back to it. But I didn't begin to move more towards what the Lord had for me. And this is called the word of knowledge. God will speak very specific to you. Now, let me just kind of back up. So we talked about the word of wisdom. All of us as Christians have access to wisdom. James chapter 1 says, if you lack wisdom and you're part of God's family, ask him. He'll give it to you generously. He'll never make you feel bad because you didn't know. He'll just give you more than you want. So we all have access to wisdom. We all have access to knowledge. In John 16, it says that the Holy Spirit, part of his job is to lead us into all the truth. But we're talking about a very specific thing and a supersize of that wisdom and that knowledge, and that's how the Holy Spirit works. Here's the last one, discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. You'll hear in Christianity, well, I have the gift of discernment. If I'm going to be really super honest, super gentle, that doesn't exist. It's just not in the Bible, but we kind of think it is. Lots of times when people have the gift of discernment, what they really have is the gift of suspicion. And they kind of just like to, read into things and then put their little part in there. Discerning of spirits is really different. It's a supernatural revelation or an insight from God that will detect what's going on in the realm of a spirit and you can see their activities. In fact, lots of people that function in this, like all of a sudden, they can kind of catch a vision and they can see the demonic presence. They can literally kind of startle some people at first, like, whoa, what was that? They can literally see the devil standing there or the enemy standing there and what he's doing. And it's not just, hey, that's really cool. It's so that they can say, hey, let me just tell you what's going on. There's some outside interference. You're wondering why you're struggling so much because there's a demon that's pushing you in this direction. We just need to go ahead and pray and take authority over that right now and tell him he doesn't get to do that anymore. And those things are really important. I mean, stuff that you're wrestling with, you don't know why am I wrestling? It's because of this. And the gift of discerning of spirits will be able to help and pull that off. All right? So that's the revelation gifts. That's showing you stuff you can't otherwise know. Here's the second category, the power gifts. And the power gifts are gifts that do something. They do something that they will supersize. And the first one's faith. It's the supernatural confidence that God will do the impossible in whatever situation. And I've just had the Lord grace me with this a number of times. Can't tell you how many times, a couple of examples, for those of you that are church family, you've watched them unfold when the Lord was leading us into a satellite. We could not afford a satellite. We didn't have enough volume. We didn't have enough. But the Lord said, no, this is what I want you to do. And I just had this confidence. I mean, I would look at the facts. I'd sit with our counsel. I'd sit with our finance team, and we'd keep doing the numbers and twist the equation, and every single time it came up the same, not ready, not ready, not ready. And every single time I'd say, I know, but we're supposed to do it. Now, I don't do that all the time. And this time, they could feel the agreement, and they said, okay, let's do it. And we did it, and we were successful. Same thing was when we went to Bolivia and we realized this guy wants to build a building and we felt like, Lord said, well, I want you to help him. And we raised $100,000. We've done it twice and sent it down there. It's like we can't do that, the size and how spread we are and how many things we're doing, but the Lord brings this confidence and it's not like we're just, it's not determination, it's not ambition, it's something from the Spirit. You just know that you know that you know that God's telling you, take a big step here. Don't worry, I'll take care of you. And he does. And that's a gift of faith that comes. Now, all of us are supposed to be cultivating faith. In fact, Romans 1 says, we live by faith, not by sight. But this is different. This is in a big situation. And while everybody else is freaking out, for some reason, you just feel such a strength and a confidence. Nope, God's going to do this. And you can step out and you can be able to move in that direction. Here's another one, the gifts of healing. And notice it's plural, because this is not just, you know, you can heal randomly, but there's some people that evangelist often operates in this. Some people have a gift and it just seems like everybody that they pray for that has a problem with their eyes gets healed. Everybody that they pray for that has a hearing deficiency, man, their ears just pop open and they get healed. And so it seems like that the Holy Spirit will itemize one thing at some particular point or seasons, but these are gifts of healing. This is supernatural healing, even creative miracles without human aid. So there's no medical intervention here. There's no medical way this should happen, but the gift of healing will come. Now, Mark 16 and other passages say that every one of us as Christians have healing that we can give. Anytime we lay hands on the sick, they will recover. But that particular process sometimes is over a period of time. In fact, it's from the Greek word therapia, and it means like therapy. So we can pray for somebody, and we're infusing them with God's healing power, and that can continue to grow, or we can continue to pray, and it's like we're just layering it and layering it and layering it, and they'll progressively get better. That's a promise of God, and we can be confident about that. But there's other times when God uses us in a gift of healing. Let me tell you one of the funniest times that God's used me this way. I was younger in ministry, and I was called to a hospital because there was an elderly lady who was about to pass on. And by the time I got there, she was already in a coma, and her whole family, there must have been 20 people in the room, her whole family was gathered around her. And of course, you know, they were crying and they were sad. I mean, it's a very sober moment. And I asked them, just in conversation, you know, is there anything specific I need to know? And they said, She just slipped into the coma so fast, and many of us were traveling. We didn't get a chance to say goodbye. And we just felt like, man, our hearts are broken because there's some things we wanted to communicate and we wanted to hear from her to get closure there. And, you know, and I tried to console them, and then I said, you know, a pastoral prayer, scriptural, but a pastoral prayer. And I walked out, and I'm getting in the elevator in the hospital, and the Lord said, go back and pray for her and she'll wake up. What? That's risky. What if she doesn't wake up? Well, I'm getting their hopes up, and so I, you know, I get in the elevator, Mr. Obedient Man of Faith. I get in the elevator. I'm heading down, and I'm saying, Lord, she's 90-something years old. I mean, she's had a good run. She's going to heaven, you know, and all these things, you know, that I'm thinking to try to put scriptures in there, and the Holy Spirit saying, go back and pray for her. Go back and pray for her. So I get all the way to the bottom floor, and I start to walk out of the elevator, and I just know if I don't do this, I'm going to be so regretting. And so I hit the button, went all the way back up, walked back in the room, and I said, guys, I'm so sorry for coming back in, but I just feel like the Holy Spirit wanted me to pray, because this is really important that she does wake up and that you guys get a chance to close this thing. She has some blessings that she wants to give to you guys. And so I said a pretty simple prayer, partially because at that point I still wasn't real confident about this, and I just said a pretty simple prayer, and I said, Holy Spirit, we need a miracle here, but wake her up and give her the cognitiveness, give her the awareness to be able to speak to her family in Jesus' name. And I said, in Jesus' name, amen. Open my eyes, nothing. And I said, okay, guys, we're just going to keep praying, and I walked out. I didn't, before I even got to the church, back in before cell phones, my pager went off, and when I got there, I called, and the family said she woke up. And we've been talking to her for the last couple of hours. She lived two more days and got to talk with all of her family, got to lay hands on the grandkids and pronounce blessings to them, got to square up some things where some of the relatives felt like, you know, we drifted apart, maybe we had some hurt feelings and all of that. But listen, it wasn't me. I'm not even sure my faith was right there, but in the moment, the Holy Spirit said, just do what I'm telling you to do. And that's exactly what happened. I'm telling you, God wants us to do this kind of stuff. But we have to be growing in the fruit of the Spirit so we're connected and we're confident and we know the voice of the Holy Spirit. There's still a little bit of this, but we step out and we take a chance and the Holy Spirit does some amazing things. Here's the last one, the working of miracles. The working of miracles. And this is supernatural power to intervene and counteract earthly and evil forces. It literally means a display of power that enables someone to go beyond the natural limits. I was trying to think of an example, and I couldn't think of one personally, but I could think of a number of pastors that I know. One of them came with a short video, and I probably should have tried to track it down for you. But there was a pastor friend that I have, and he was somewhere in, I want to say, in the tornado alleyway, and I'm not 100% positive on that. But there was this massive tornado that was coming to his house, and right to his property, and they didn't give him a lot of time. And he said, he started to, get everybody in the car, and he said he felt the Holy Spirit say, walk out to the porch and tell that tornado it's got to go around your house. And he thought, what? I think we should get in the car. Can I pray like driving away as fast as I can? And he heard the Holy Spirit say, go stand on the porch. And so he did. He stood on the porch and he said, in the name of Jesus, this is our property. We're protected by a living God. You cannot come and destroy my property. And he said, you will never believe what happened. He said, we watched that thing and it just veered right around our house. He said, in fact, the aerial photo shows all the other places destroyed and our house looks like nothing's touched it. And that was a miracle right then. This is a powerful work and a miracle. Jesus did stuff. He walked on the water. Okay. Now some people think, well, he was the Son of God. He could do that anytime. No, he couldn't. He could only do it when the Holy Spirit said do it. He prayed for and multiplied loaves and fishes, took a little happy meal and fed 5,000, really probably more like 15,000 people. He could do that anytime. Nope. Only when the Holy Spirit said. But these are workings of miracles. And sometimes I'm telling you, we need the power of God right there in the moment. And if we can't use it, we need somebody to be able to hear from God to say, hey, let's do it this way and watch God do what he said he would do. Let me do the last ones and we're going to end because I'm out of time. Listen, the last big category is the utterance gifts. And these are gifts that say something. Gifts that say something. And the first one is prophecy. That's in verse number 10. These are supernatural proclamations. Sometimes they're forth-telling, so they're just declaring something that's true in the moment. Other times they're foretelling. They're telling you something that's going to happen in the future. But this is talking about God's intention, and they're to encourage, to strengthen, and to bring comfort. Now, I mentioned last week that prophecy is in all three sets of gifts, but it's used differently. That's interesting. What else is interesting is when you look at Paul's list in 1 Corinthians 12, prophecy is the gift that he said, you guys all should want prophecy. You all should want to have a message from the Lord as often as you can. And this seems to be the utility gift that has the widest and broadest usage and impact. You don't always need a miracle of God, but you always need an encouraging word. You always need some little tip, some little inside, tip, some little word that'll strengthen you. We always need that. In fact, 1 Corinthians 14 says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. You should especially want that. Because every time we come, we want to be able to say, hey, I was just thinking about you the other day, and it felt like the Lord said. In fact, I had a couple of examples just this past week. This happens all the time around here. I had one of the gentlemen in our congregation, Dean Copley, he texted me and he said, yeah, so I was in my devotions and he said, I felt like the Lord just whispered something to me and about you. And he said, I thought I'd just pass it along, see if it meant something. And he did. And I got tears in my eyes. I texted him back. I said, you have no idea how strengthening that is. You have no idea. The Lord was just talking to me about some of these things. And that just brings such a clarity. I'll tell you another thing. This past Friday, Debbie and I celebrated our 33rd wedding anniversary. And just for those of you that are curious, yep, she's re-upped for another year, so thank you for your prayers. I'm excited about that. But this was a different one for some reason, and I sat down to write a card, and I always say, Holy Spirit, help me with this, partially because as a husband, I don't want to mess it up, and other reason because I want to hear from him. And this one's different. I wrote some different things in there to the point that when she was opening it, I said, hey, by the way, when you open this, this won't be normal. This is not kind of just the normal, relational, romantic things. And so I hope it's okay. I hope you can read it. She started crying when she read the card. And then I started crying when she's crying. And then we talked about some of the things that I felt the Holy Spirit say that were significant. Things that she hadn't even shared with me. But things that the Holy Spirit was writing in there that in this next year that her and I need to be focusing on. And this is what prophecy does. It's so strengthening, so encouraging, and God wants us all to be functioning in that. Then these last two go together, okay? These last two go together. The first one's different kinds of tongues or unknown tongues. And these are supernatural communications in either a language that's known on earth, or, you know, we read in 1 Corinthians 13, there's heavenly languages, and we don't understand all that. But this is when someone communicates something inspired by the Lord, but it's not in any language they've learned, and while they're communicating, they have no idea what they're saying. It just sounds like a bunch of gibberish. Now, here's what's interesting, though. These two are so connected that Paul said, if there's not anybody there that can operate in the next gift, which is the interpretation of those tongues, it's the supernatural power to reveal what that message was trying to get across. It's not translation, but it's to reveal what that message was trying to get across. Paul says, if those two gifts aren't kind of flowing together, then don't do them. Don't even try, because it does no good for us to have a message in an unknown tongue when there's nobody to interpret. Now, this can operate in a lot of different ways. It shows up in Acts chapter 2. They all come out of the upper room. They're speaking in tongues. And the people that are there say, wow, we're from all over, you know, the different parts of the country. But we heard people speaking and giving praise to God in our native tongue. Well, those people didn't know that language. I was actually in a pastor's conference one time, and this kind of happened. We're in a worshipful service, and someone begins out loud to give a message in tongues. Well, you know, we understand what that is, and so we kind of hush down, and we're waiting, followed by somebody that gave an interpretation. And that's normal, and man, you could sense, man, God was in the house. That was awesome, but it wasn't as awesome as what happened next, and that is that we had missionaries visiting from another country, and they came up. I don't remember what country it was. They came up and said, what most of you don't know is the message in tongues was a perfect rendition of our dialect. And this is exactly what he said. And we got to literally see how God uses that to bridge languages. I have a missionary friend, and he said it happened to him a number of times. He was over in some other hidden tribe place, and he didn't know their language at all, but he felt the Holy Spirit inspire him, and he just began to speak in what he thought was tongues. And later on, when the English translator got there several days later, he found out that he'd already shared the gospel with them in a perfect way in their language. He had no idea what he'd done. But he was sharing, and the Lord was bridging this gap. And these are supernatural things. And so all of us have access to these kinds of mysterious things in the regular world, where God said, I'll take things that are confusing and I'll help them make sense for you. Oh, okay, I can see some things. But these are supernatural things. Here's the last thing I'm going to say. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31 says, so you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts, but now let me show you a way of life that's the best of all. And he brings us back to the fruit of the Spirit, the way of love. And there's two reasons. Because if you're wanting to be shaped, if you're wanting to be the person you're supposed to be, and you really want to be that way so you can help other people, then this passion to help other people will come up, and you'll lean in and you'll say, Holy Spirit, I need some help helping them. Wouldn't you love to be having coffee and someone's rolling out their heart and just something on the inside just bubbles up and you say, hey, I just had this thought. Can I just share this with you? And you share it with them and they're like, oh my gosh, how did you know that? Does it have anything to do with this? Have you ever thought about this before? Wouldn't it be great to have the Holy Spirit whisper into your heart? Wouldn't it be great to say, let me pray for you, but it wasn't just a prayer out of the faith you've developed, but something rises in you and you look at that person and you say, I'm telling you, God's going to pull you through this. I'm telling you, the Lord's going to do it. We're going to agree right now, and God's going to pull you. You don't have to worry about it anymore. You can just be at peace from this point on. God's got this, and he's going to do it. Wouldn't you love to pray that prayer and then call you in the next couple of days and say, you will never believe what happened? And you can say, yeah, I believe it. Because the Holy Spirit did that. I didn't know that, but the Holy Spirit did that. I'm telling you, this is how it should be all the time. In our regular lives, in our church lives, in our family lives, the Holy Spirit wants to bring his gifts so we can live supernatural lives and not be limited to our natural life. Stand to your feet this morning. Let me just close in prayer. Here's what I want you to do. I'm not going to be weird about it. Just kind of put your hands out like this. And I'm just going to pray. Listen, it doesn't work automatically. This is not something weird. But if you're at least bold enough to say, I'd like some extra help. I'd sure love the Holy Spirit to help me, then I'm just going to pray that he will. And as you say, Holy Spirit, I received that. I'm telling you, he'll do it at your level. He'll walk you step by step down it, and you'll know when it begins to happen. And then we'll talk about these things some more as the year progresses. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gifts that you've given to us. Thank you that you love us enough to help us, give us extra help in areas. Holy Spirit, as everybody is standing here now, we're opening our hearts to you. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would not only continue to grow them in the fruit of the Spirit, but you'd begin to use them in the gifts of the Spirit. Lord, I pray that they'd have little thoughts and just little things come up in their heart. And as they begin to lean into those, Lord, you'd prove yourself that you want to use them to minister through them. And you also want to shape them. Thank you in Jesus' name for what you're doing in us individually and as a family.
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for more messages. If you like what you're hearing, share it with your friends. For more content from Lakeshore and information on services, check us out at lakeshorecf.com.